Roth, 6 a.m., first thing in the morning. Welcome to Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so. 866-313-3733. We're talking about all kinds of issues here, but first I want to wipe my nose. Man, it's disgusting in here.
It's hot. It's dusty.
No, these are old studios that are leftovers from like the early 70s or something. It's for retards. Ugh. No, really, what I had said earlier, you know, when I talked to Joe Hollander about doing this gig, it was very frank and very upfront about this, and I had said, look, why would you even want to come into one of these dumps? These are dumps. These are ugly little rooms for reading the weather and doing the news or the traffic report or something. But the difference is that the traffic report is done from a digital camera and a helicopter, a $2 million helicopter that's circling upside around here.
See, that's why I look like this. I've been in rooms like this for 25 years.
No, I'm not kidding. The future is that we travel and that you go to different places. You know, that you would, there's no reason why you can't broadcast from a hotel suite even. Then, you know, every third-rate morning zoo around the world is broadcasting from the local strip mall, even as we speak, or the Playboy Mansion or what have you. But man, we come into these rooms, and I had said very up front in the front, this is ugly, this is gross. And then, you know, they have the old Stern room over there, and it's the same thing. You have exposed fiberglass insulation all over the place. Here we have these filthy walls with this, what do you call this? This is material, this kind of cloth.
Soundproofing.
Or whatever. What is this from, 1972? It's disgusting.
And I'll guarantee you that the air conditioning ducts in the entire building that we're in right now haven't been cleaned since this building was
built. It's disgusting. And we pump the air up from 30 floors below or whatever it is. I come in here, it reeks of cigarette smoke that I knew came 3 days later. No, really, man. We should bring somebody from OSHA up in here. They'll shut this place down instantly. This is disgusting. I'm sitting here rubbing my nose like a junkie. Ugh. Okay, that's my complaint for a day. We're going to take number 8, Nick, who wants to agree with gun education. Spin me up with Nick here, Hutch. I'm going to wipe my nose. Talk to me, Nick.
Dave, hey.
Yo.
What's going on?
You talk to me. Tell me what's going on.
They should have more education on gun control. Hey, that story you're telling about your dad, that just recently happened?
No, that happened in the late 80s, and every single syllable of it is true.
Oh, I thought maybe it just recently happened. The guy was trying to save us from having to hear your horrible, horrible show.
I'm sorry?
I thought that just happened. That guy was probably trying to save us from having to hear your horrible, horrible show.
Oh, I get it. You're a comedian. Don't turn him off. Leave him on. Go ahead, clown. You're in the spotlight.
Yo.
Lead with your face, clown.
At least
what else you got? At least that story had a point. The first two, like, didn't even have a point. And
I was probably speaking too quickly and using too big of a words, or were the words okay and they were just too close together?
No, you said it yourself. Like, oh, my point.
No, leave him up. He's chosen this very special time to humiliate himself. Go ahead. You're on.
Let's call him Trouble. No, let's call him Homeboy. Let's call him, is someone, like, writing this down for you and you're reading off cue cards and you're speaking too fast and they have to catch up to you or what?
No, you're just used to slower. Keep it up. Keep going.
No, actually, I'm used to normal. It just
But normal for you is the special bus. Throw them away. Put on number 14, Bill, hiding guns from kids. Okay, Bill, you're on.
Hey, Dave. Big fan. Loved your uncle yesterday.
Oh, thank you so much. What'd you like about Uncle Manny?
Uncle Manny is a living legend. He's done everything that I think most Americans would kind of love to have done.
Boy, oh boy, you know, we didn't even hear about the second half of his career. He opened up a whole nother comedy club and jazz club up on, I think it was 96th in Amsterdam or Broadway, something like that.
Right.
And throughout the 80s, that was all Seinfeld, Bill Hicks, and all of those kind of folks that a whole nother generation that virtually everybody recognizes every single name on his list.
That's fantastic. He gave a start to a lot of the guys that those guys owe their careers to.
Most people are not aware, and I tried to get him to talk about it, but he's got too much history to go through, is that in, I believe, 1960-61, he organized the first conglomeration. It was like a union of all the coffee houses and the clubs and stuff downtown. They were being shut down. They had their liquor licenses being taken away.
Right.
They couldn't get cabaret licenses, and they were being shut down. The government thought that all of the beatniks and all of those were Russian, that they were subversive. That's why they're called beatniks. They don't call themselves beats. And
right.
When you add the suffix nick, it was like Sputnik.
Yeah.
And they were shutting them all down. It was Manny who organized everybody. They made it to the front of the New York Times. They got the law passed that you could have cabaret, you could have food and drink and all music all in the same place. And they knocked the Adolf Eichmann Nazi war criminal trial right off the front of the pages. It was big news here at the time. Evidently, they're still fighting the same war from what I read in the papers. What's your thoughts for the day, Bill?
Well, I wanted to flip it around and tell you a little story, actually.
Please.
Going back to the gun control. Growing up, my dad was a cop. He was a sheriff here on Long Island. And when I was a little kid, whenever I asked him, he'd always empty his revolver, let me look at it, teach me about it, show him, from when I was 3-4 years old.
Sure.
One day, I'm about 6 years old, he happened to leave the gun out. It was on the bathroom sink. And my mother thought I was really quiet for a long time. And she asked me what I was doing. And I said, looking at Daddy's gun. And I literally had my hands behind my back and was just looking at it because Daddy told me not to touch it unless I wanted to ask him. And he would let me see it any time. So I think if you start at an early enough age and do it the right way, you can avoid all of the problems that we're having in this country with guns.
I think that the education for young people is a given. The difficulty is with the parents wanting to take the time, having the knowledge, and
Absolutely.
having the discipline to do it, because you can't teach it in one day. You can't teach it in 3 days. You got to teach, because these are elements that we forget. And I'm not for teaching people how to position their legs and get into the triangle.
Right,
we're not
right.
teaching anybody the fast draw. We're not teaching anybody how to change magazines in a low light environment.
Yeah.
We're teaching people how to save yourself
exactly.
when some jerk pulls it out of a classroom locker. When somebody at the local pot party puts the record cover down. Oh, I'm dating myself now. But when they put the record cover down and go, look what I just bought, and pull it out from under a mattress and go, dude, put your hands up. All right, dude, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
How many people got capped because of that kind of approach? And I'm totally for, you know, come on. When we teach condoms, do we say, now go out and practice and then come back and tell us a story? I wish I had sex education like that.
Well, one other the quick thing is, if you go to for a hunting license, for example, if I'm not saying everybody's got to be into that, but if you go to hunting, there is a hunter safety course, but they only teach that for hunting. If you want, go to any gun store and buy a rifle, there's nothing. They do a background check, FBI, you get your gun, you walk out if you got a clean record. But you know, to just use it, there's nothing. Only if you're going to go hunting and get a license do they teach you some of these things.
And even then, that's outdoor approach. That
right.
that involves trees and animals and the sky.
Yeah.
Most of the problems happen interurban or happen suburban.
Right.
And that's in somebody's house. That happens in somebody's apartment. And I think that if we don't start teaching kids about this, that it's just going to escalate and escalate. I can't tell you how many times I've been riding around in the ambulance. I worked the night shift in the hood many, many times in the last, I don't know, 18 months, whatever. And you know, I sit and I'll talk with the kids. We're making a ride. Sometimes it's 20, 30 minutes before we get to the emergency room. Mom's the one who's having the trouble, and she's got a couple of little 6-year-olds, 7, 8-year-olds, whatever. And I ask them questions. I ask them, I point to the tennis shoes, and I go, what does G unit mean? And they make a little finger like a gun and go, psh. Well, till Junior's old enough to afford the real deal and becomes as tough as his toughest customer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm seeing now, and we see in the ambulance, a particular kind of ballistic trauma, which is, it doesn't have a name, but I explained it to a couple of partners for whom they hadn't figured what it was. Routinely now, we're finding people driving themselves to the hospital or almost getting to the hospital, and they pull over. They'll be sitting in their automobile, whatever, and when we pull them out of the front seat, invariably they've been shot in the lower back and the ass. Okay? And what happens is, because kids now, young people now, are imitating that way that you see on the videos, on all the Bruckheimer movies, where
yeah.
instead of looking down the sight like John Wayne style, you tilt the gun sideways
yeah.
and let it kind of droop down like this. And they're walking up to each other, and they go, yo, homeboy turns his back like this, takes 4 or 5 in the back, he bends over, and the rest go right into his butt.
Ugh.
Okay? And then they carry themselves into the car, and they start to send themselves back off to the hospital.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people do imitate the movies. People do imitate television.
Oh, absolutely. Whatever's cool, whatever they think is cool, that's what they want. And the more you try to hide something from someone and tell them they can't have it, the more they want it.
From what I read, 65%, 70% of all programming on television and the movies contains violence involving firearms of some sort. Well, you're not going to get rid of that any more than you're going to get rid of cigarettes or Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. Oh, I'm telling you more than I wanted to right there. But you're not going to get rid of it. Right. And you're going to have to educate so that people know. I don't want you to get rid of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. I don't want you to get rid of Marlboro cigarettes. I don't want you to get rid of Jack Daniels. All of that stuff can kill you. I don't want you to get rid of the number two Happy Meal at McDonald's. Come on. I love that stuff. But all of it can kill you if you use it without common sense and some education to go with it. Do you agree with me?
Absolutely, 100%.
God bless you for calling.
Can I sidetrack you to a little quick musical thing?
You may not. Here we go, on to the next call. Hutch, swing on the way. What do we got? Doesn't matter to me. Who's up?
Roth, live, 866-313-3733. You can find us on davidleeroth.com.
Did he just hang up? That was my agent. He became my rate. Roth's here. You're on. No call?
He's not there. Okay.
It's all right. Pick up another.
You pick one.
What do we got? 30 phone lines here? What number are you calling on? Swing.
Try that one.
Roth is here. You're on.
Dave!
Dave who? Dave's not here.
There's no Dave here. Dave, it's good to hear you on the radio, buddy. You've gave us a lot of great years of entertainment, and we appreciate it.
Thanks much. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from West Palm Beach. You had a caller earlier on talking about the UAW. You know what? Those guys make $28 to $32 an hour average for turning screws, for doing nothing. No wonder people are buying Japanese vehicles, because a Pinto, if they built a Pinto right now, it would cost $30,000 because of the UAW.
I just saw a thing with the Bob Hope Christmas special they were showing on the military channel recently, and he pointed to a camel and he said, "That's what a horse would look like if Congress tried to invent one." It's kind of an analogy of what you're talking about. And I'm going to give you your voice as well. You got a good balance here. Go ahead and express yourself. Why do you think they make so much and so many others don't? Why do you think that is?
I don't know why. I mean, I do soda pop. I'm happy with what I do. You know, I make $40,000 a year, and you know what? I'm completely happy with it. But I don't have a union that's pushed around and bullied. Take, for instance, GM. GM just lost, and I'm no GM fan of General Motors, but they lost $500 million on health care costs. Dave, when do you get your full health care costs paid for when you go to the doctor? Most of us have to pay a copay. Those guys don't have to pay anything. And it's, you know, time to maybe pitch in a little bit for your own team, make a little bit less, and keep your job.
That seems to be what people are offering, but usually when they offer that, aren't they cutting the pay so dramatically that you can barely keep yourself running?
General Motors, and not with the big three, it's not.
I'm talking from an uneducated standpoint here. I'm no authority on this, so educate me, please. When you're talking about GM, is this where all of these jobs are being cut and they're farming out the all of the work to other nationalities? Is that what's going on?
Exactly. They're having to. I mean, they're a business, too, and they've got to make money, and you can't pay out more than you're bringing in. I mean, they had, you know, a great deal this month, or in the last, 2005, they were giving away vehicles because they had so many on inventory. So when those guys cry and complain that, they're getting stuff cut, well, blame yourself for that. Don't blame the people that are giving you your paycheck.
What do you think?
You guys have raped and pillaged for years.
I am giving you your voice here because I really don't know either way. I've never really held a steady job till yesterday. I've never had any benefits. I don't have no pension. I have no retirement fund. Nobody's going to help me out at the end of the day. There's no special hospital for musicians. There's no Veterans of Foreign Wars place to go. There's no Knights of Pythias Hall for us. So I kind of have a general vibration, and I spent the last summer working with people who make $500 a week. That's 8 hours a day, 5 and 6 days a week when you add in all of your overtime. They themselves will be
lucky, even with overtime, working through holidays to make $38,000 a year. And half of these guys, have families with three little kids, and I'm thinking specifically of names. I'm not going to say their names, but my partners, the guys and gals that I work with. So I have some idea of what you're talking about. Do you think American cars are as good as the cars that are made outside national?
Absolutely not. I mean, how come, you know, you can buy, take a Honda Accord, and you can buy a Honda Accord, you could have bought it 10 years ago, and the depreciation value is half of what a General Motors vehicle drives. And I drive a GM vehicle. I just, you know, I buy what I can afford. And but the next vehicle will not be an American vehicle, because I want something that will last me for 10 years. And then when I trade it in to get something new, I want something that, you know, the depreciation value is not knocked off 50% when I drive the first step off the parking lot. Boom, you've just lost 50% of the appreciation value.
You know what? I think it's curious also. Every time I look at a Honda motorcycle, I think they stole the American premise, which is basic. Too good for better.
Right.
Isn't that an American principle?
Oh, it is.
Hey,
it is.
I appreciate your calling up here to raise this point. If somebody wants to riff in on this, feel free to give us a call. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. You want to take one more call?
Sure.
What do you got? What looks good? Americans are out of touch. Number six, Debbie, talk to me and tell me what it is you wish they would touch.
David, how you doing?
I'm doing extraordinary, my friend. What about yourself?
I'm doing great. Am I the first lady to call in today?
No, darling, you're not.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
I've been listening since 7. I haven't heard anyone. But I wanted to touch back on Americans losing their jobs.
Go ahead.
I wanted to say this happened many years ago in Puerto Rico. You know, that was a culture of farmers.
Are you Puerto Rican?
Yes, I am. But
entonces,
I was born here in America.
Okay.
So, you know, when I go there to visit now, in comparison to when I was a child, there's barely any sugarcane fields. There's barely any coffee going on. There's barely any jobs going around. And, you know, it's a little interesting to me how Americans here in the mainland, where I was also born.
What is that? What happened there?
I'd like to make a call.
Did somebody disconnect her?
Haven't realized that it was eventually going to happen here.
I'm sorry, sweetie, you know what? We got an electronic buzz. Tell me your last two sentences once again, and I'll answer to it.
Okay. I was saying that, you know, here in America, people haven't realized what was going on in the properties of America with these farm cultures. They have nothing to do now. I go there, and there's nothing to do in the towns. I can't find seafood in the supermarkets that's fresh. Everything's prepackaged. It's changed a lot over there in Puerto Rico, and it's happening here in America now. I don't know how people are so surprised about it.
I've seen, I'm with you 100%, Mija. Is when every island culture that I have visited over the last 30 years has pretty much been destroyed by spam. Everywhere that I go, whether it's Fiji, Samoa, the Tahitian archipelago, throughout the South Pacific, the greatest parts of Hawaii, and on down through the Caribbean, the West Indies, etc., etc. Everybody's eating the worst American garbage. Everybody's wearing the worst throw-off clothing. Whenever you throw away your Bruce Lee t-shirt or your old Puma tennis shoes or your Adidas tracksuit from the 80s, you ever wonder where it goes? Goes right to where she's talking about. And routinely, everybody's eating canned garbage food. And I'm not kidding when I say spam. You want to know where they eat the most spam per capita in the world? Hawaii.
Yeah, I heard that.
Oh, absolutely. And when you see the way people are falling apart over there, the stress on the medical system in these cultures now is impossible. Everybody's having heart problems. Everybody's overweight. I mean by 30% overweight. Everybody is you're having all of the child problems. And today, if you are Hispanic and if you are Afro-American and you're inner city, then one out of two kids is going to show up with diabetes. Virtually half of every kid under the age of 20 right now today in the inner city, if you're in those two groups, then 50%. In my bracket, I'm 51 years old. As I was growing up a kid, it was 1 in 50. 1 out of 50 of us caught type 2 diabetes or late adult onset or kid onset or what now. Your kid, under 20 years old, half of your kids, if you have two kids, guaranteed one of them. And what do you think that's from? You think Jesus laughed and dropped it out of his hand? No, it came out of a soda pop can.
It came out of a Spam can. It came from a Pop-Tart. It came out of some Tang. It came out of some McDonald's. It came out of a Sabrett's hot dog. Everything that tastes good and that I would prefer to eat for breakfast. That's where that comes from.
Yeah. But, you know, Americans, that has happened already in the properties. It's happening here. It's very unfortunate. But no one's really saying anything about it. I agree with the caller from Ohio. People aren't really making an uproar because this is happening all across America.
Well, everybody's asleep and numb from too much sugar. You get that insulin dump. You eat yourself a quadruple cheese quad burger with the extra sauce and a quadruple size fries, and you aren't going to feel very talkative either.
Roth, 6 a.m., 866-313-3733. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after this.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
International, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, San Diego, Chicago, Houston, Texas, San Antonio, Yakima. Well, not Yakima, but soon. We're talking about gun control. I do believe that the 45 caliber 1911 pistol is the first original point-and-click interface. Do you agree, Twitch?
Yes.
You don't even know what I'm talking about. You think it's stereo equipment.
I have no idea about guns.
Lynn, do you own a gun?
No, I don't, Dave.
Why don't you?
Because I don't feel I was educated enough about guns, and I'm kind of afraid of them after being... in the 911 system for so long and seeing the damage they do. But, you know, I kind of agree with your perception on why it's important that people are educated, especially kids. And after your speech about your dad and what happened, I'm on board.
Okay, give us a little bit of history here. Lynn is my senior instructor for EMT. She was the one who hooked me up with all of my education for EMT at the world-famous Ludlow University and then up at the Rockland County Fire Training Center. Give us a little bit of history on your background, Lynn. Tell us who you are.
Well, I've been in EMS since I'm 19, which would make it about 26 years. And combination of the 911 system, the volunteer sector, hospital-based, municipal, and now still volunteering and teaching and a little bit of emergency management and a little bit of FEMA for a good instructor.
And I imagine you've seen your share. You started off driving an ambulance, right?
Yes, I did. I was an ambulance driver. Well, in the beginning, in the EMS system in New York, there actually were just what they call MVOs, and now everyone's elevated to EMT. But yeah, I started, my first 911 job was New York downtown, Beekman.
Okay, and how many women were driving ambulance at that point in time?
Back in 79, 80, not that many. I mean, women really became prominent, I think, more toward the 80s, but in the 70s, they were far and few between.
You've seen your fair share of gun trauma, right? You've seen your fair share of gunshots, right?
Yes, I have, Dave.
And do you think that education it will mitigate that or that it would increase it and cause people to use it more?
Dave, I'm a big proponent of education, and as far as gun control goes, I think you're right about that. The problem is right now the guns are in the wrong hands, and there are other states that do have civilians having guns, and there's laws that allow them to, and we need to compare those stats and see if it works in those states, and if it does, we may need to loosen up those gun control laws up here, because I think it is a deterrent to a certain extent. I really do, in terms of deterring crime.
Well, I used to have a sign in front of my house that said, anyone found here at night will be found here in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend of mine who's a paramedic down in Florida, and they have guns in those houses, and those paramedics are worried sometimes about going into a civilian environment that the people may have a gun. So there is a scare to that.
There's a terrifying to that. We've busted 3,800 methamphetamine labs in the United States since last January. In fact, it's probably more than 4,000 at this point in time. And the cops who have to go and work those gigs have to wear Tyvek suits. They've got to wear scuba gear, self-contained gear. And the folks who are inside the house have become somebody else a very long time ago from that kind of a drug. And they're all armed. So I'm kind of wondering both ways what goes on here. Again, I have my traditional triple standard. It's okay for me to have them. It's okay for you. Everybody else has got to get in line. That doesn't really work. But we live in troubled times here. I don't know. Even if your gun is plugged at the end there, you got to have a shotgun that makes the noise when you rack it, right? In 82 languages, that says, please, no skateboarding here, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Dave, you know, the bottom line really is that probably if they had some good research and made sure they did background checks on people, it would probably be a good way to people that protect themselves. But
you can't do background checks on people. What does that mean? Come on, I'm not angry today, so he sold me a gun.
Yeah, you got a point there, Dave.
It's and you know, when you got to wait, you'd be amazed how many people complain about the 2-week waiting period. The common joke is, "But I'm angry today."
Yeah, the cool down. The cool down period. You're right.
I don't know. Maybe gun control really is being able to put 3 shots in the middle ring from 30 feet. You think?
Dave, with you? Yep.
I use my smile like a pistol. You know what? You want to go to a song one time? We're going to go do some spots. We'll be back. I want to hear a little bit more of what you think, Linda. Give us a call, 866-313-3733. Radio that is free.
There is.
Чистая сила. Вы можете ее почувствовать. Столько силы. Приходите и слушайте. Radio Rov 6M.
David Lee, live in front of your naked, steaming eyes. 866-313-FREE. We got somebody who's been sitting on the phone so long, it's certainly not for free. Probably spent half his mortgage on here. Omar, number 9. Give me a phone call there on number 9, Hutch. Omar, you're finally in the spotlight. Are you there?
How are you doing, Dave?
Extraordinary. What's on your mind this morning, Omar?
These gun laws to buy them legally. I mean, you have to go through the waiting period, but meanwhile, the thug in front of the liquor store can get one in 15 minutes.
So are you saying that... So what is your conclusion?
My conclusion is that they want stronger or stricter gun laws, and it's only going to affect the people who buy them legally.
Well, that's precisely what happened in Great Britain and Australia. You know, they had the huge drives where it became illegal to possess firearms of any kind, and to a much greater degree. And violent crime, violent personal crime, assault, battery involving weapons, and things like armed robbery, etc., skyrocketed. Went right through the ceiling. And the only places that you really read about that are in the very far back of the papers. We're very good at what I call selective denial in our media. What do you think we ought to do?
Well, I honestly don't know what we can do. But now you have the politicians, Bloomberg, who wants stricter gun control. Who is that going to affect? The law-abiding citizen who waits the 6 weeks? Sometimes even 6 months. It took me 6 months to get my handgun permit in Jersey. Now, do you know that if I get into an argument with my wife and the cops come, they take away my permit just for, you know, not lifting up the seat when I go to the bathroom?
Okay.
You think that's fair?
No, it's retarded. And and the idea that we're just going to legislate human behavior has never worked for anything. It never worked for sex. It never worked for drugs. It hasn't worked for alcohol, tobacco, coffee. We'd rather pour coffee, let our little kids drink coffee by the time they're barely a teenager. But as far as the education, no. And I think if you thought you were going to legislate behavior, of course not.
You have a culture that on television, musically, that preaches nothing but. Come on, what's 50 Cent's most popular record? The Massacre, or whatever. And I got to tell you, I love the music. The duet he does with The Game is superb. That's great stuff. And I like the theater of it. But I'm old enough to know the difference. I've worked in a hospital for a few hours. I have a real good idea of what the difference looks like and sounds like. But most people don't have that. We're in some kind of a denial as to that term. I think if we don't start to educate people with it, and we think we're just going to make the laws, that I agree with you. The only people who are going to be gunless, or, and I don't mean even in terms of fighting it out through the hallway, just the idea that you have one of those little room brooms that you don't ever, this is what I told my sister, you don't ever have to pull the trigger. You simply rack it, and that says in 82 languages, no skateboarding here. I caught a guy in my backyard that had come over a 15-foot fence in Southern California about 2 years ago. You guys remember this. Oh, yeah. And at 3:30 in the morning, a speed case came over the fence there. And I drew down on him and made him lay down face down in the sprinkler system and went and called the cops. As I was waiting for the cops, he's laying with his face down. He goes, "Excuse me. I'm really thirsty. You got something to drink, like a soda?" Oh, great. I just collared the neighborhood tweaker. And they, oh, totally, totally. And they found him, they found in his pocket, they found some methamphetamine and a Spyderco knife, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. But I had no intention of gunfighting. I have no court of law is going to let me walk away from anything. My training records are exemplary, too. First thing they're going to look at is, do you know what you were doing? Oh, you bet. My training records are as long as my right leg. But in the end of the day, I'll be sued into oblivion. Everybody's gonna figure, well, he should have had bodyguards for $3,000 a week minus room, board, travel, and food for the pit bull. It's not realistic. And if nothing else, you make that sound. Somebody may see it, and you don't pull that trigger. But if we don't start educating, then we think we're going to legislate it out of existence. We stop teaching sex education and teaching condoms, and we have a pandemic now because of that kind of thinking. I think the answer is always going to be in education. Thanks for calling, brother. Roth, 6 a.m., 866-313-FREE, 3733. That's the numeric value of free. Want to take one more? Gun control in schools, number 14. Billy, is he still on the air? Actually, Billy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Dave. How are you?
Draw down, son.
Hey, man, just want to say real quick, man, it blows me away talking to you, man. Rocks my world.
Oh, I've thanks
been a
much.
Long time fan. I'm 41 right now, man. This is totally awesome.
Okay.
But anyway, just dropped. It's ironic that you're talking about this because just dropped my 10-year-old son off at school.
With a gun?
Son,
you,
yeah,
you, no, you took him to school son. At gunpoint like my dad did. No, we saved the gun for homework.
anyway, did a book report on the white-tailed deer. And, of course, the dear old dad's got a bunch of racks sitting around the house, deer antlers, that is. And he wanted to take a set in to show. And we had to hide them in a bag, you know, not to let everybody know exactly what that is. And he's not allowed to bring that out until actually does that report. And after that report, it has to go right back in the bag. Now explain to me why that is.
Okay, and you're going to get an interesting view on here. I have no problem with wandering into the forest for a little Bambi burger to feed the wife and kids, provided you know what you're doing. And 99% of the folks who are wandering out in the woods don't. They're as lousy a shot as they are at the firing range. And I'm going to tell you up front, because like I said, I'm not going to go into it, but I have some serious training records on this. Four times a month is inadequate for gun handling. I'm not talking gun safety, gun handling. That's different. 16 hours a month is inadequate for maintaining a perishable skill that is life and death. And I mean that whether you are on ice skates, if you intend to become a hockey player in high school. 16 hours a month is inadequate, all right? If you want to practice painting, you want to practice music, you want to play guitar, 16 hours a month? Come on, Brian, how many hours did you practice on your guitar in 1 week?
4 to 6 hours a day.
There you go. 16 hours a week for a perishable, deadly skill like gun handling is completely inadequate. And most people go to the firing range for an hour and 15 minutes once every 4 months.
Right.
So what happens is, like I said, I've got no problem with an adept, schooled, educated and highly trained individual who lives near there, who knows what he's doing, is involved in the conservancy projects, and is a clear, square shot. Because usually what's going to happen is they're going to wound little Bambi in the hindquarters and send it off to an agonizing death off in a corner somewhere of a state park where it's going to freeze itself to death and drown in its own blood. Why? Because the same clown up at the firing range who turns to me and goes, what do you think? Do you think it's plugged?
Dave, where I live, people have to keep their dogs inside during the winter because they're afraid that the hunters are going to shoot them. The more dogs die up where I live because they're shot.
Why do you do? Because they think that the dogs are another critter, or because they're just having fun?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. People, they take pot shots at them. They're in the woods and they don't realize that someone's dog may be wandering there. So, boom, right there. So
what are your thoughts there, my friend? You're on the phone. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, man, I agree with that. Man, I happen to be fortunate enough that we own enough property where we practice at home. But if I had to go to a public range like you do, Dave, I wouldn't do it because I've been there.
Oh, it's terrifying.
And I agree 100% with what I've seen there. And I don't know that it's too easy for folks to get a gun, but I don't mind the two-week wait. I don't mind a month wait. If they want to do a background check on me, that's no problem. I'm all for it. I own guns. I've got plenty of them. Some of them are heirlooms. Some of them I purchased, but, you know, I'm all for that, you know, waiting period. There's nothing wrong with doing a background check on before you hand somebody, you know, something you can kill somebody else with.
I would just as soon construct a reviewing team, and I know this isn't politically possible, but a reviewing team that comes from the military, the police, and OGA, other government associations, that sits in judgment, the same way you have to pass the test if you want to carry and conceal. And if you don't know what you're doing with your scope, with your rifle, with your safety, with your kids, etc., and you're not a sharp, clean shot, then you're freaking out of luck. And I say this in the name of Bambi.
Well, I agree with you. You can go on and on and on with that argument, but, you know, and in the name of Bambi. But, you know, again, a lot of people look down on hunting because it's, you know, a lot of weapons are used. We have the big archery hunters, but so we just.
Most people have trouble with me describing the stump in the back of every farmhouse where you learn that when you ask for chicken dinner, something has to die. I know it's a terrible, bad way to say that. We don't want our 12-year-olds to understand it. I learned it when I was 7 years old. We had a stump in the back of a house in Indiana where Uncle Manny was talking about, and it's routinely the grandmother's providence to take the little kids out there, and they start with the little girls, the ones who are going to work in the kitchen first, and here's the chicken, here's what you do, and you're not eating if you don't do that, okay?
Yeah.
Most people have a horror of even discussing that on the radio. The idea that something is going to have to happen in order for that McDonald's hamburger to transpire for you. The only thing, as far as vegetarians, I have no problem with vegetarians or vegetarian pursuits, though vegetarians, by and large, are prone to bizarre political interests. And you also know that the word vegetarius is Latin for he who is a very lousy hunter. I myself have never been hunting. Well, do supermodels count? What do you think, Sash? No, I've been hunting twice, and both times I did it with a great big stone because I was starving to death. My girlfriend Kelly and I had gone off to the highland jungles of New Guinea and spent, I forget how many weeks in there, and we got ourselves good and lost. We were with some other buddies of mine. We got good and lost for, I believe it was 3 days and two nights, and we were completely without food. And we spent all of our time. We had to move 11 hours a day on trail to get from point to point because everybody was sick. Everybody was, you know, had the trots. Everybody had, I forget what you call it, but we had it good. And we had to track down possums and stone them with great big rocks. We were so starving, we didn't even skin them. We gutted them and threw them with the fur and everything right on the fire. I'm not kidding. I've got pictures of it. And at the end of the trip, we all, except for Kelly, she went on to her next modeling job, and I checked into the hospital for 4 weeks. We all did. You know, we all had infections. It was one of the best trips of my life. Hold on. Put him up. I got to hear what he's saying. Go ahead. Go again.
Wasn't that your buzz, the Jungle Studs? Isn't that what you used to call yourself there?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a group. That was like a self-deprecating routine. All the Jungle Studs were actually trial attorneys, rock stars, and idiots who grew up in the Boy Scouts.
Right.
The closest, for me, until I really started. What's that light flashing? Is that a light from Jesus?
I thought somebody was taking my photograph, or no, maybe yours.
It's the lights going on. Somebody's fooling with us.
Fire alarm.
But the Jungle Studs was a funny way of saying those of us who grew up in the Boy Scouts. I used to have a scoutmaster who used to stand in front of us and go, "Men." The oldest men there was 11 years old. He'd go, "The jamboree is coming up, and I fully expect you to win everything, or don't come back." And he would go into his office and drink gin, and we loved him. We tied tourniquets on everything that moved. I knew how to tie a human into a square knot, and we won everything.
What's your take, Dave? One last comment here, if you don't mind.
Certainly.
You're a celebrity. What's your take on guys that are in the spotlight who use that tool to, to preach their beliefs over and over, as far as gun control, because that's a big issue with a lot of guys that I see, and it burns me up. Stick to playing the drums, Don Henley. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if Don Henley spends a little bit of time in the hood, if Don Henley spends a little time down at camp, you dig? If Don Henley spends a little time around the police and in the projects, if Don Henley spends a little time at the firing range, good, bad, or in the middle, we're going to be prepared to listen a little bit more closely to it. I'm privileged. I'm absolutely lucky that I got with Instructor Reisman here and that I was able to find my way into the blue team, okay?
Dave, what was impressive was when you asked me to, to go on the ambulance, what was really impressive was that you asked me to put you in the belly of the beast, the worst of the worst. And I was kind of impressed with that because you have credibility now. You really are speaking about what it is that you know. You've been there.
I wanted to see my city from the inside and out. New York City is the greatest city in the history of time, inarguably. Even if you're unhappy with it right now, the greatest city in the history of time. And I got to see it from the inside out. I get to crawl around in the engine room. I got to go down below where everybody's rowing. I got to go up into the captain's hut. And you know what? I'm a lot happier down below where everybody's rowing. Don't go away. Roth, 6 a.m.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it, man.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.